Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Rabbi Pesach Wolicki is Associate Director at the Center for Jewish Christian Understanding and Cooperation. He's scheduled to speak at the Conference for Leadership, Innovation, and Social Change at Dakota Wesleyan University on Thursday, March 16th. But first, he joins us in the moment. Welcome, Rabbi.
Thank you. Welcome. Good morning.
You are on the road, I can tell. Be safe.
I'm on the road. I'm driving from Minnesota, where I had a wonderful meeting this morning with a pastor that I'd never met before. And I'm on my way to South Dakota for a few days of more interfaith dialogue, which is what I do.
Okay, so when we talk about interfaith dialogue, where do we begin? What are some of those first conversations and first questions that we should be asking between, for example, just the Christian and Jewish faith?
The first questions we should be asking is, can we get past our barriers? The Christian and Jewish communities, obviously, for many centuries, have not had a warm perception and a warm relationship of each other. But at the same time, we've been working in parallel, whether we realize it or not. There's a lot of values that we share, a lot of ideas that we share, a lot of points of theology that we share. The roots of our beliefs are very similar. And in the world today, a lot of the values that we care about, we're really on the same team. So, the question is, can we get past the things that keep us from talking to each other? I find that the first thing on the minds of any Christians who I meet are the things that I don't believe that they want me to believe.
Really? What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is, if I walk into a church, I often speak in churches, and I'll speak, the elephant in the room, besides the rabbi in the room, the elephant in the room is wow, this person standing in church speaking to me doesn't believe in Jesus. There's a kind of, immediately the mind goes to what that person believes differently than me.
Okay.
And the same thing, on the Jewish side, it's less of a theological issue. Jews don't have a theological problem. In other words, the barrier, what I'm saying, when there's a barrier to the relationship, from the Christian side, it's often theological, usually theological. From the Jewish side, it's usually more historical. Jews have a very intense relationship to history. History is talked about a lot. Historical narratives are very much a part of our liturgy and our culture and the way we celebrate our holidays. So, quite literally, as strange as it sounds to Christian ears, when I talk to the Jewish community about my work, which I do, that's the other side of what we do, is educating the Jewish community about the Christian world, Jews will literally say to me, how could we be friends with Christians? Look at what they did to us in the Crusades. And they're not kidding. Meaning, to a Jew, the fact that the Spanish Inquisition took place over 500 years ago is irrelevant. 500 years ago is not that long, in the way they see things. So they'll look at a modern Christian living in Minnesota or South Dakota and that is somehow connected. So, which again sounds very strange to Christian ears, but to choose the historical divide between Jews and Christians, the need as Jews to protect our identity that has always been under attack by being a minority and quite literally under attack at times, often stands in the way of the relationship. And so I think the first question we could ask, if you want to pose it as a question, is can we instead take a look at the immense amount of overlap that we have in terms of how biblical values inform how we see the world and how we define what's right and wrong and just and unjust. Can we you know, our definition of what God is and what God wants from humanity is very similar to the point of being identical. You know, there's so much, you know, what we call, you know, all the good moral ethical underpinnings of what we call Western civilization really are our shared Jewish and Christian values. So the question is, can we live there for a while when we're interacting with each other, and from there build a relationship?
So when you come to South Dakota, I believe that on your list of topics that you're speaking more than once, but Abraham is part of the conversation, and that certainly is a figure that is familiar to both Jews and Christians. Is that sort of what you're talking about? Start with some kind of common ground there and explore sort of the message of Abraham and this. And I want to know specifically about this notion of balancing what God wants you to do in the world with your role in community and family.
Sure. That particular talk, you know, it's not like I came to this. I'm not coming to this conference with kind of my, my standard material. I guess anyone who speaks for a living and goes around speaking, you know, you have a catalog of set material that you use. That's not what I'm doing at Dakota Wesleyan University. The material that I'm going to be speaking about, the lectures I'm going to be giving are all, this is the first time I'm giving them. They were written for this occasion. Dr. Joel Allen from the religion department there and I have really developed a wonderful friendship, and he discussed with me what themes he would like me to explore, and I worked on them. The Stark lectureship that the talk is going to be for deals with issues, the interplay between faith and social justice. And you know, so I decided that a good way to look at it in a way that Jews and Christians will both relate to, as you say, yes, working with someone like Abraham, I don't want to come in there and start quoting from the Talmud and start quoting sources that have importance to Judaism and have cultural resonance with Jews but won't resonate with Christians. By the same, we're not going to be on common ground then. In the same way that if you were speaking to a Jewish audience and you started quoting from the New Testament, you'd lose them pretty quickly. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Uh-huh. I do. Yeah.
So Abraham is a great place to start. He's really the beginning. He's the beginning of monotheism. And just to give a little bit of a preview of what I'm going to be saying and why I see Abraham as so central to this issue, that Abraham is a person who is very concerned with everyone. He loves everybody. He prays for Sodom and Gomorrah to be saved. In one of the longest passages of prayer in the Bible, he pleads with God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah because perhaps there's a few righteous people. And notice, Abraham doesn't pray to God to save only the righteous people and to get them out of there. That's not what he's saying to God. He wants God to save everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. If there's in the merit of that handful of people. And just imagine what that would be like for you or me. Imagine if you could picture whatever society, whatever group on this planet exemplified everything that you're opposed to, everything that is most the enemy of what you believe in. And one day God came to you and said, I'm going to wipe them out. That's what this is. Abraham was devoting his life to spreading piety and monotheism and kindness. And Sodom and Gomorrah was a place that, as the Bible says, was filled with thievery. I know in Christian thinking, there's an association with sexual immorality with Sodom and Gomorrah because of a particular scene that happens there with Lot's daughters. And even the term in English, sodomy, has a sexual meaning. But frankly, in the Hebrew, there's no indication whatsoever in the Bible that that was the problem. The main problem talked about in the Hebrew text of that story is that they were involved in theft, that they did not respect people's property, and they were stealing from each other. They were cruel people. And yet Abraham prays for them. He loves them. His nephew Lot had joined up with Sodom and Gomorrah and left Abraham. And Abraham goes and saves him in a war before that. When God tells Abraham to banish Ishmael from his house, Abraham doesn't want to. It says, the scripture says that Abraham, that it was very bad in Abraham's eyes to do this. Abraham was an inclusive and loving person, and he was devoted to the mission that God gave him to bring blessing to all the families of the earth, as it says in Genesis 12, and then later on. So Abraham is very much about everyone. He's about the universal. He makes a treaty with the Philistines so that there'll be peace between them. But at the same time, he's constantly being forced by God to choose a particular identity, a covenantal separateness, where God tells him to separate himself from his family, and he tells him to circumcise himself, to be different from everyone else. In God's words, to be a covenant between you and me. And when God tells him to banish Ishmael, it's because the covenant will only run through Isaac. So there's this constant push in Abraham's life towards this covenantal particularism, this separation, where at the same time he's always pushing back towards universalism. And dialectic in Abraham's life that I decided to explore as a paradigm for what every person of faith really goes through, which is, if you're a person of faith, you want to help the whole world. You should want to help the whole world. If we're followers of Abraham, we want the whole world to be elevated and blessed and brought closer to what is good and what is right and what is just. As God says about Abraham, he is going to teach his children compassionate justice and loving kindness. God, that's what Abraham represents. But in order to do that, in order to influence the world, we find ourselves often being influenced by the world as well. If I'm going to get out there and help everyone, if I'm going to get out into the street and try to influence, then that means that I'm not building barriers between myself and the world around me. And I could end up also being influenced by it and losing my identity and those teachings that I'm trying to bring to the world. Those beliefs that I'm trying to bring to the world don't come from the world. They don't come from society. I'm trying to influence society. So the struggle. So I think every person of faith finds themselves at times having to retreat from interaction with the world around and reinforce that relationship with God. You can call it a covenant or call it whatever you want, but to reinforce that separateness in order to then gain, put gas in the tank, as it were, so we can get back out there and keep influencing. And I think that rather than being at odds with each other, there's this complementary relationship between those two components of Abraham's life that, again, I think are play out in the lives of all people, who are of devout faith and want to make the world a better place.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest, Rabbi Pesach Walicki, he's coming, he's on the way to South Dakota for the Conference for Leadership, Innovation, and Social Change at Dakota Wesleyan University. That event kicks off 9:30 a.m. on Thursday at the McGovern Library. There'll be talks by Dakota Wesleyan students, followed by two speakers in the Sherman Center at 11 and 12:30 p.m. Those are all Central Time. Rabbi Walicki is Associate Director of the Center for Jewish Christian Understanding and Cooperation. And Rabbi, we just have a couple minutes left, and I'm really curious about something you said earlier about one of the barriers to overcome and this intense relationship with history, and specifically we talked about the Crusades. And I'm wondering if just in a minute you can tell us then, you know, for Christians who are listening, how do you sort of engage in a conversation regarding something like the history here in a way that is healing for Jewish people today and promotes that interfaith dialogue and understanding?
Well, the best thing that we could do is really hear each other's perspectives. And when we hear each other's perspectives and respect those perspectives and just start building a relationship, a lot of good things happen. What I said before about Jews having a very intense relationship with history, for obvious reasons, there's a lot of, in Christian theology, there are a lot of statements that delegitimize the Jewish religion in various ways. Mm. And that's part of religions. Religions believe they have the truth. And, you know, for Christians to, you know, to meet me and to realize like I said, all that we share, and to realize that while we don't have to be bound by the past, but we have to be aware of the past and give respect to it. And when I say give respect to it, here's an interesting point.
We're going to run out of time, Rabbi. We've got about 15 seconds. Quickly, yeah, go ahead.
I'll just say quickly that when Christians say, when they look back at Christian anti-Semitism and say, oh, those weren't real Christians,